the message this morning on the subject, the value of labor. We used as our text in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23, in all labor there is profit. And we looked at, first of all, the fact that labor is commanded by God. Before the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden, man was commanded, he was set in the garden to dress it and keep it. He was gainfully employed. After the fall of Adam, God informed him that he would be earning his bread by the sweat of his brow. Labor was so important to God and to man that he incorporated it into the moral law, the Ten Commandments, when he gave the Sabbath day command, the fourth commandment. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, we have direct commands about doing your own work and how that if there in 2 Thessalonians it says, if a man's not willing to work, if he won't work, neither should he eat. And they were regarded as, he identified as being disorderly. Now, the second point that I want to, we covered one aspect of this, and we looked at some verses in Ecclesiastes, what labor provides. And labor is, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9 and 13, chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, labor is actually a gift from God. It is something that you and I, if you learn to view your work and your labor as a gift that God has given you, it'll set your mind free. You'll learn that work is something that is so vital to your existence. And it's part of your makeup as an individual. Now, and it's the means by which you provide for your family. So when you understand how labor relates to your sustenance, it only enhances the idea that there is value and profitability in work. Now, your vocation, according to God's providence, is an opportunity for you to enhance your own sense of well-being. And what I mean by this is, you show me someone who works for a living, who is healthy and able. Again, I made the comment today, I'm not talking about people that can't do for themselves. I'm talking about you. Just every one of us are able. We're healthy enough to do something every day. But you show me somebody who works for a living and makes his own way, and I'll show you someone who feels better about themselves because they have a better sense of their own self-worth. I do believe, now, I don't believe in self-esteem, okay? Because all of my esteem is bound up in Christ. But I do believe in self-worth. God has created you. He's given you health and ability, and that's worth something. And if you use it for the glory of God, you have a better sense of self-worth. Now, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24 and verse 27 says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." Big difference, big contrast between the diligent and the lazy. One takes care. If he goes out and hunts, he takes care when he harvests the game that it is taken care of, that it's used properly. Now, Ecclesiastes 5:12. Every time I quote this verse, I think of old Brother North. He was a mushroom farmer from Davenport, Iowa. When I went out there to preach, when I went out there to preach in about, it was the spring of 1993, I went with Terry and Deborah Morgan. They were members of the church that I pastored. We drove all the way out to Davenport, Iowa in their station wagon. And I've never seen so much flat ground in all my life. And as I was driving, it just struck me. How can anybody believe in this nonsense of overpopulation? Or the idea that there's not enough, there's plenty of land, plenty of crops. I mean, obviously, those people who believe that junk have never driven to Davenport, Iowa. I mean, there's plenty of land, plenty of ground, plenty to produce food. But we got out there. This guy had made his living. I think he had like 8 or 10 sons. And built a house with 10 bedrooms. It's a massive thing. We stayed in his house. And he was old by this time. And his wife, she was a little old woman. And she cooked for all these preachers. I slept on a mattress that they laid in one of the rooms. that was my accommodation. And you know what? They showed us their mushroom farm, and it was Campbell's came every morning and got mushrooms from them. I am not kidding you. Every meal we had, usually we ate 3 times a day in between church services. And usually we'd eat breakfast and supper with the Norths. Or maybe it was breakfast, and I can't remember. I am not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. We ate mushrooms with every single meal. One guy wanted cereal, and they made him put mushrooms in that. Now, they didn't. That's exaggeration, okay? They didn't do that. But every time Brother North prayed at the table, he would quote this verse. And I'll never forget it. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. Do you realize that working, being gainfully employed, it helps you mentally and physically? It's important for your health. To be up and doing doing something. Labor also, it provides a service to others. When you do a job well, it benefits society at large. It provides a good example to your children and to your grandchildren. Turn over with me to Proverbs 31. This, of course, is the picture of the virtuous woman. And it says in Proverbs 31 in verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She wasn't idle. She didn't lay around eating bonbons and watching slop operas all day. The virtuous woman was gainfully employed. She did work, and her family appreciated it. They rose up and called her blessed as they saw her labor, her care for the family. Ladies, you have such a vital role in your home, in our church, in society at large, and I fear that the truth of Proverbs 31 and that example is not being provided in our day like it ought to be. And we need to get back to this. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. It says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." You realize that when you work and you have an abundance, you have a surplus, it enables you to help other people who may not be as fortunate. Ecclesiastes 4:9, "Two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor." Labor provides rewards. And it's not just monetary rewards. It's physical rewards. It's good for your health. Mental rewards. And even spiritual rewards, because you are obeying God when you see the value of labor. Gainful employment affords you to obey God's command also to tithe. Today, Josh paid Gavin his mowing money. Josh, he has a bunch of money in an envelope. I'm not going to tell you where it is. But anyway, he has a bunch of money. He said, "I owe Gavin $100. He said, "Can you get it out?" Because he entrusts me with his money. I am LifeLock of our family. I kind of keep track of everything. And he said, "Can you get $100 out of my stash and so I can give it to Gavin?" He comes back, he hands Gavin his money. He said, "Now, Gavin, what are you going to do with that money?" Gavin just, And he said, "Well, what's the first thing?" "A tithe." He said, $100. "How much is the tithe?" He said, $10. I said, "Wow, the math's working, Gavin. That's great, man." All right, and then Josh said, "You ought to save something." Oh, he got a little bit of a troubled look on his face. You know, because I'm going to tell you something. Gavin, he gets just a little bit of money, and he thinks he's got to spend it. And the funny thing about Gavin is, he can buy the smallest thing. It might only cost, and he'll be satisfied for days. He's a great grandkid. I mean, if you can find a grandkid that's satisfied with very small thing for days, you have hit the jackpot, man. But anyway, his dad said, "I think you ought to save, what was it, at least $30 or $40? And so I guess that's the plan. But what I like was Gavin did the labor. He's 12 years old. He mowed grass with his dad. He got paid. He understands the principle that 10% of his earnings belongs to the Lord. When you work, you can make money. You can pay your tithes. Somebody says, who should pay their tithes? Everybody. Everybody ought to pay their tithes. Say, even lost people? Well, why not? It's God's creation. God is the one that gives you the power to get wealth. Say, "Oh, I don't know. You're one of those preachers that's always preaching about money, aren't you?" No, I'm one that hardly ever preaches about it, because I believe that people ought to know the tithe is the Lord's. And working enables you to pay your tithes and able to contribute to the work of the Lord's church. And then work enables you to stay off welfare and not be dependent on the government. I remember when I was a kid, my parents, my grandparents would tell me and my sister, "You make sure you're always working. You don't ever need to be on food stamps. Do whatever you can to make your own way." I mean, I was a little kid and they were telling me that. And you know what? I believe it's important. I think if you are healthy, there's no reason in the world why you shouldn't be working, why you shouldn't be earning your own money. It is a crime what's happening in America today. We're giving billions of dollars to people who aren't working for it. That whole COVID fiasco, that was one of the most nonsensical things I've ever heard or seen of in my life. And it destroyed our economy for 2 years. Paying people, printing government money, paying people to stay home from work. That's a sin. That's wrong. And they kept doing it. I believe it's wrong. I didn't agree with it when they first started it. And I know I'm not a doctor. And I'm not saying I got all the answers with COVID. A virus is going to virus. Looking back with all the data now, hey, they should have never shut down the country. It was wrong. And certainly they should never have incentivized people not to work. They were paying people like $600 a week not to work. That's insane, man. No wonder we have 9% inflation. You print money that you don't have, and you flood it into the market, and guess what? You're going to be Venezuela before too long. That's you can't do it. It used to be illegals came here because they wanted to work. Now they're coming here because they're being instructed, you come here, you claim asylum, you can get on welfare rolls, you can get free education. It's not right. It's not right to not teach people the value of work. Now, I could clear up the immigration problem tomorrow. If you do away with all the welfare, they're not going to be so apt to come here if they're not assured that they're going to get all the free stuff. Of course, they're not going to listen to me. But I know I'm right. I'm not wrong. I'm right. You don't ever incentivize people not to work. Now, and young people, you learn a trade, whatever you have to do to make a living, you do it. And if you get into a hard spot, see if your family can help you. See if your church can help you. Because the earlier you get on government, the more dependent you become upon government. I don't want to be dependent on government. I want to make my own way. Now, lastly, last point, how labor should be performed diligently, with a real commitment to do the very best you can. Proverbs chapter 10. And by the way, if you agree to do a job, whatever the pay is, don't bellyache about it. If you agree to do a job, do it. Don't complain and bellyache. You never hear me doing that when I'm baling hay. I've agreed to do it for nothing. And I don't complain about the pay. We don't get a red cent. Now, there's been times where it's kind of a token thing. He'll say, hey, do I owe you anything? Yeah, right, Joe. I mean, we're talking about a brother that is about as tight as you can get. Okay? He loves me and Daniel because he knows it's free labor. And he loves his wife too. Listen, she was a pioneer woman for years. I mean, right in the thick of the hay work. Now she's babysitting grandkids. What a great job that is. But your work, it ought to be done with commitment to do the best. Look at Proverbs 10, 4 and 5. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. The Marxist will say, well, you're working for somebody and you're making them rich. Yeah. If somebody has invested their time and money to own a business and they hire you for a certain amount of money, you're agreeing to work for that wage. And when I work secular employment, my responsibility is to make as much money as I can for my employer. That's how it works. And if you're a business owner, you pray that you get somebody like me that will do their work and do it diligently. Because I think that is right, it's biblical, it's honorable. And so when you do work, it should be done. I've said this, every Christian employee ought to be the very best there at their job, at least in effort, in what they can contribute to that company. Your job makes money. And if your employer makes money, then you're going to have a job. But if the employer is not making money, you're not going to have a job. I remember when my dad owned the meat shop, these guys would come in, they'd put their apron on. It was my dad's apron. He was the one that paid for the aprons. They would get their knife, and it was my dad's knife. They didn't pay for the knives. They cut the meat on his tables. They put them in his cases. And when they would complain about something, I'd say, you know what? You don't have to pay for any of the overhead here. All you got to do is roll in here, come in the back door, put the apron that's provided for you on, and get the knife that doesn't even belong, and do your work for 8 hours and get paid. You don't have to pay any of the bills. Now I was only like 20, 18, 19 years. People don't like to hear 19-year-old capitalists. They didn't like that. But it's reality. People don't ever think of that. They think somebody owns a business. Oh man, they got it. They're so wealthy and rich. They're filthy rich. They don't understand the work that goes into owning your own business. I mean, I've seen my dad work 18 hours a day. So remember that as you're laboring. Labor should be performed with an understanding that you're earning tangible rewards. You have to understand that there is a real incentive to work. The Bible says this in Psalm 128, turn to Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. That's prosperous. It's not literally that you're going to be fat, as in fat. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. There's an incentive to work. And then labor should be done with an eye to the glory of God, to please God. Look over at Colossians chapter 3. Now, this actually is dealing with the command of servants within a household, but I think it also can be applied to labor. It says in verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Understand this. The labor that you perform, the work that you do, it's an act of worship. You are obeying God, and you're doing it with an eye to please Him. Now, do you think God's pleased with you going to a job and doing everything you can to try to get out of work? I used to work with a young kid. Well, he was young in comparison to me. He wasn't a kid. He was a man. And this kid, I would have so much meat cut, and he was supposed to wrap it. And he'd be in the bathroom for 45 minutes. Now, there ain't nobody on the planet that should be in the bathroom for 45 minutes. All this meat stacked, I had stuff cut up, and it irritated me. This young man agreed to work and then did not do the work. Well, it would make me hot. And I was saved at the time, and I had to really crucify the flesh. But don't look for ways to get out of work. Look for ways that you can improve efficiency. That's the right attitude to have. You know, work, Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me. He's our example. He finished the work for sinners. And I really believe that the principles laid out and these scriptures, it needs to be taught in our homes, in our churches, and it needs to be practiced, especially by men as they teach their children how important it is to work. And ladies, I mean, you look at the work of the godly woman, and the older women are to teach the younger women how to do the work that they're responsible. We need to get back to this. Because our society is unraveling. Because we're raising a bunch. People are lazy. I mean, there's plenty of jobs. There have been plenty of jobs. People won't take them. And it's because a lot of kids are coming out of school thinking they're entitled. Here's another little... I'm going to end on this because it's something that... It really gets under my skin. When somebody that's worked hard their whole life, they've got a home, a decent car, and they work hard. And kids that are 25 years old think that they should have everything that you've worked your whole life for. Just as soon as they get out of college, And a lot of times when they have this entitlement mentality, they go into terrible debt that they never recover from. My dad and mom taught me, don't buy anything you can't pay for. I've lived that way my whole life. I hate debt. This is a whole nother sermon. And I'm not going to do it in a whole nother sermon. But if you work hard, you have the ability to manage your money and get out of debt. And whenever I have any kind of debt, I start attacking it. I mean, I want to get rid of it. Because you become a servant to the lender if you get in debt. I've seen churches under so much pressure because they want a big, ornate building and everything that just everything in the world that could be had, and they are constantly begging the people for money. I don't think it's good for churches to go into debt like that. You got to learn to be content with what you have. Well, I know I put my 2 cents in some of these points, but I believe I'm on track. There is great value in labor, and we need to teach it and model it and provide an example. My kids and my grandkids always see me doing something. I remember on Sunday nights sometimes, he used to say to me, don't work too hard. And I'd say, Joe, don't say that to me. I think we ought to encourage, hey, work hard this week, Doug. Get out there on the railroad and do your work, brother, and be a good example to everybody else. So I believe it's important. All right, now, probably going to be 6 years, if I'm still here in 6 years, if the Lord hadn't taken me home, I'll probably preach this again because I think it's something that needs to be hit on from time to time. Let's all stand.